Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Today, we're going to teach on this topic, sharpen the saw. Say, sharpen the saw. And the subtopic is getting your edge back on. Say, I will get my edge back on. And I talked about this on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. I want to go back into it today. And also, we're going to pass out a little later. I have this assessment tool here. We're going to have an activity after our lesson today. We'll have those handed out a little bit later. Not now, but later. And we'll just take some steps and look at what it takes to sharpen our saw. Let's go now to our scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and we're going to begin today in verse 10. New King James Version reads as follows: if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom produces success. Now, the topic is sharpen the saw. The scripture talks about an axe. So a saw, axe, knife, they all have edges that need to be sharp, right? So whether he's saying axe or saw, it's the same principle. If the edge is dull, you must use more strength. We've all had experience of being in the kitchen trying to cut food with a dull knife. It's more effort. And a bit dangerous, really, when you're trying to force something that's not even sharp. Or maybe you have had the experience of using an actual axe, trying to chop some wood or a chainsaw or any type of thing that has an edge that's dull. He says, if the axe is dull, you must use more strength. Now, I've taught this for years. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I'm so tired. I just feel so tired. You wake up tired. And I have found in myself, when I am feeling tired, not physically, I mean, just the sense of tiredness, it's because my edge is lost. I've lost my sharp edge. So I'm using more strength, more effort, more mental effort, you know, more of everything, and it's wearing me down because I'm not sharp. We've experienced this. Sometimes we call it burnout. That's a term we've heard. Sometimes when I see people, even among you, I'm looking at you, see how you're doing, you know, and I'm listening to your story, and I got friends of mine, I talk on the phone, and I ask myself, okay, so how's your vacation scheduling coming along? Out of the blue. How's the vacation plans coming? What vacation, you know? You should have it. Listen, let me help you. Now, those who do planning with a calendar of any level, if you pre-plan, say you pre-plan the year or the quarter or a month, the first thing you put in your calendar is your rest times. Your vacation times, your getaway time. You put that on the calendar first. Then all the work stuff goes in. Because if you put all the work stuff in there first, and second and third, and figure I'll just squeeze in some time for rest and recreation, you'll find out you get squeezed out. And I get the motivation. I love my job. I'm dedicated to my work. Well, that's good. We understand that. We know you're a pro and all that. But the fact is, if you wear yourself down, then you won't be as good on your job as folk think you are and you actually have been. And so it's not being selfish. Listen, y'all, I always tell you, some things are personal and not selfish. We're in a whole world of selfish people, selfish stuff. We know that. Conceited people. I'm talking about personal stuff now. Say personal. And so if the axe is dull and you don't sharpen the edge, you must use more strength. All right. New Living Translation says this. It says, since a dull axe requires great strength, sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. And the New Living Version says, New International Version says, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but wisdom will bring success. Love that translation. So wisdom will bring success. And so this lesson today is bringing wisdom to you. I want to, bring wisdom here today and encourage us that, first of all, this very important statement, that the loss of a sharp edge is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of normal use and wear. Right? So there's nothing wrong with the knife being dull. It just says, I've been using it. Now, you want to keep the knife sharp, don't use it. Don't use it. So then when I say, when the Bible says, when the axe is dull, the edge is not sharp, that's not saying something wrong. It's actually a normal condition. So because we normally wear down, we normally become dull, then we have to also normally have seasons of sharpening. Amen? And not every now and then either. You don't do a once a year getaway retreat to get sharpened. You won't last a whole 12 months. There are some things you'll see here. We get to our lesson. There's something that, people who use knives for a living, they sharpen them all the time. I mean, before every use, they honed the edge. So now in this text, Solomon wasn't talking about axes and lumberjacks. He was talking about his life and life in general. Amen, somebody? He wasn't talking about just how, lumberjacks and axes. It was a parable, a metaphor to get us thinking about our lives and his life. He's very reflective. Solomon had a great gift of wisdom. He also understood that, man, sometimes he was crazy and he knew it. That's, when you have wisdom and when you have, when you're honest with yourself, it's two things you know. Sometimes I'm crazy. And I know it. Now, it sounds bad, but actually it's, some folks are crazy and don't even know it. So don't be off. The crazy is a bad word. I just say, don't be, just don't be dull and unaware of it. I won't say crazy. Crazy sounds bad, although it is the correct word for ourselves, not somebody else. Meaning that we've just lost perspective. Losing perspective, and still trying to function without perspective. It's exactly like calling me and waking me up in the morning and me thinking that I'm going to have a normal conversation. It happened this morning. I got a phone call from my monitoring company. The storm came through last night, and our fire alarm system, something happened. I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was no fire alarm, but it went offline. He called me, thing is offline. I said something, and I told myself, I'm going to sound as normal as I can. And he's like, what'd you say, sir? And I'm like, I realized I just woke up, man. You woke me up. Now, listen, that's what it's like when we're dull and we're trying to function. Normally, quote unquote, right? We're not right. We are not right. The edge is gone. And we're trying to still do stuff and talk. Listen, just sit down, be quiet, and get your edge back on. The best thing you can do sometimes is just be quiet. I've learned that. I mean, I've had God tell me sometimes, just shut up. Straight up. I'm in a conversation. Stop talking. Shut up. Because you're trying to engage in a conversation either you're not, you know, you haven't studied up on the subject, or you're not ready to discuss the subject, but you're talking anyway. And that's the worst thing. So then let's not do that. Let's have that honest self-assessment that says, I'm blessed, I'm favored of God, but right now I need to be quiet and get my edge back on. Amen. And tell for I'll call you back tomorrow. Talk about that. Let me call you back. Let me talk to you later about that. I'm not ready to talk about it right now. So here's a quote attributed to Abraham Lincoln. Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 hours sharpening the saw. I don't know if he said it or not, but it's whoever said it, it makes a lot of sense. So here's your assignment. You got 6 hours to chop down this tree. Well, I'm not going over there and just begin chopping at this tree with a saw. I don't know the condition of it. I'm going to spend the first 4 hours sharpening the saw. When I get to that tree, it won't take, you know, more than an hour, hour and a half, right? So I like the idea, the principle of that quote is we think about doing stuff. Well, think about preparing to do stuff. That's really important to me. Things I do, I'm really big on preparation, you know. And if I see that somebody asks me to do something and I want to do it, but I don't have enough time to prepare to do it. Now, I can prepare pretty quickly. I'm pretty good at preparing for things, but sometimes even I just say, no, I just, nope, nope. Because what I won't do is get caught doing something and not do it as well as I know I could have. Because somebody rushed me into it, right? I just didn't take the decision to prepare properly. Not their fault, it's my fault. Now, truth be told, sometimes we make that an excuse for not doing things. And the thing to do is a month away. That's a month, enough time to do anything. You know, amen, almost anything in a month. So don't make the excuse either, I'm not ready. No, get ready. Say, Lord, help me. Make no excuse. Just get ready. Don't tell folk, pastor said, well, I got to prepare first. No, pastor told you get ready. In fact, stay ready. All you preachers out here, you know what I'm saying? You know how it works. If I ask you to preach, now you can't do it sometimes for other reasons, but you ask a preacher to preach, and they got to say yes. Because they got a sermon in their back pocket or in their purse, however they roll, you know what I'm saying? A preacher doesn't go anywhere without a sermon in his or her mind. You don't go to a funeral. You don't go to be to be in a church support. You go prepared to say something. You're always ready in case somebody calls on you. That's just standard operating procedure for preachers, okay? But it should be for life. That wherever you go, whatever you do, if you're asked to go somewhere, you prepare yourself. And if they don't call on you, then no problem. But the worst thing is somebody call on you, you get up and talking about, or just start talking. So give me 6 hours to chop down a tree. I'm going to spend the first 4 hours doing what? I'm going to sharpen that axe, sharpen that saw. Here's some symptoms of a lost edge. I'm going to skip past this. I touched on this last Wednesday when I taught, Wednesday before last. But here's some symptoms. I'll go quickly. Goals without grace. These are words from a man named Charles Simpson. Heard him speak. Wrote these notes down a long time ago. Goals without grace. Stress without relief. Zeal without balance, work without play, producing without partaking, relationship without reciprocity, battles without hope, forces without faces, need without supply, introspection without direction. Just not conditions, just interesting thoughts about how we are sometimes when we don't have the edge on us that God wants us to have. All right, back to Ecclesiastes 10. To get into this lesson and talk about the wisdom part now. So again, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, more of your own strength. But wisdom produces success. Say that. Say wisdom produces success. Yeah. So while the sharp edge normally becomes dull through use, we need wisdom to understand what it means to sharpen the edge. Wisdom to know what means we use to get the sharp edge back on. And I like this idea that the NIV version suggested that skill is needed for sharpening. One of the previous versions we read, skill is needed. And knowing how to use the edge. Sometime, I'll say this, we all have those seasons of wearing down and feeling dull, but it's not like we shouldn't see it coming, and it's not like we could do better with wearing down less or less quickly, you know what I'm saying? So, you know how it is, we need to understand with tools, like the chef will sharpen that tool every time before he uses it, I think it's good for us to consider how we might not just try to get the edge back on, but not let it get dull, right? Not let it get drastically dull. And so we'll talk about that because wisdom will bring success. So wisdom is the principal thing. Now, look at this. Again, NIV said there, it said, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. So then let's gain some skill here. Let me show you a couple of things here. Let me skip past the quote. And here's a couple of paragraphs from a book or an online resource I saw about maintaining your edge. This is actually a knife sharpening guide. It says this: a properly maintained knife is sharp. A dull knife can be dangerous because when you apply much more pressure than you would with a sharp knife, your hand will be much more likely to slip. A honing tool will realign the edge and also bring to the surface the carbon molecules that provide most of the cutting action. Frequent honing is essential and will keep your knife cutting like new for months. Use your honing tool virtually every time you use your knives, okay? So you who are chefs, you know that. Now, here's a picture of an edge. Half of the edge is worn, half the edge is still sharp, right? And again, that worn edge, if you look like that, you feel like that, don't feel condemned. All it is you have been used of God. You're making use of what God has given you. But that does take the edge off. And so that this next picture is a honing block. Now, they sharpen saws and axes and knives all kinds of ways. There's different levels of sharpening. But at the final stage is honing. This is a piece of leather on a block. Who has leather on top of that block of wood? And he is actually honing that edge on leather. You know, back in the old school barbershop days, maybe still do it, they had that leather strap. They would, you know, before they shaved you, they would hone the edge on that razor. That's exactly what it was. So they, every time they would do that, okay? And I tell you, it's amazing. They would, you know, shave you, and it's like, boy, it's just, you know, like a razor blade. And of course, you trust the barber, you know what I'm saying? He's paying attention. He hope he's paying attention. These new school guys, they talk too much for me, you know what I'm saying? Just cut me. I cut my hair, I shave myself, you know, because y'all talk too much. Big old knife, you're running your mouth and gesturing around. Hey, yeah, praise the Lord, you know. Whatever. I'm just kidding. But you know, they're pros. They know that if you don't hone that thing and go to shave somebody, It won't cut the hair, you know. It'll just grab the hair and pull it, right? You know how this works. So, but it's a parable. It's a parable for us. So see yourself, see your life your prayer times, your quiet times, your times of reading, like this picture here with the man just honing, you know, and watch the video, it's very slow. He's not even putting much pressure on it. It's very light. You're just honing it, you know, and it turns it over the other direction, go at an angle. It's kind of a beautiful thing to see. And it to me just spoke to me of how what we need isn't always something drastic, you know. What you need, what you don't need is getting to a prayer line, somebody slaps some oil on you, and you fall out under power. No, that there's a need for that sometime, you know. I mean, maybe you need deliverance, you know. But most of us don't need deliverance. We need to just be quiet in the presence of God and let God hone the edge on us. Really, it's a gentle process. It's a gentle process. Say that, it's a gentle process. I know that we who believe in the power of God, we like to see the power of God manifest, you know. But if God got to knock you out, you got a real big problem going on. You know what I mean? I mean, if you need deliverance, now, I believe in deliverance. I do believe in it. But if people need deliverance, they are way down the scale on staying sharp. Sharpening is not deliverance. Sharpening is honing. It's the quietness. It's rest. It's peaceful. You follow me? As far from deliverance, all the noise of deliverance and you know, that's again, it's a need for that. But you should not ever need deliverance if you're staying in the presence of God. Let me say it again. You should never need deliverance if you're staying. No, listen, I'll go better than that. You won't ever need deliverance if you're staying in the presence of God. Deliverance from what? It's people who drift from God, who never knew God, that the devil gets a hold of them. And the thing is about these problems I see all the time is people act like it just happened. Now, you've been jacked up for months and years, okay? You've been playing with stuff. You've been trifling with things. You've been messing around with evil for a long time. And now we got to take some more time and more energy to get you help because of all the long time you spent hurting yourself. But once you've gotten free from that and learned to walk with Jesus, then it's about honing the gentle, peaceful, consistent, and daily practice of faith. Amen, somebody? Would you, when you have people help you, nurses and doctors, you want somebody who's been honing this skill. That's somebody that's got delivered from malpractice, you know what I'm saying? And you're the first case they had since getting back from malpractice, you know. Now I want somebody who's been on point day in, day out. Not just showed up. Key words in this text. Key words. Axe or saw, or a knife, if you will, is the instrument of service. Our lifestyle. Your lifestyle is your axe. Your lifestyle, what you do, that's your axe. Edge, the cutting edge, the action edge, what we actually do, our gifts, our unique contribution to the world. So with me, it's teaching and preaching and writing. That's, now, my whole life is the axe, but what I do is the cutting edge. So I write a lot because even though I've written many books, if I don't write for a while, I find it's hard to get back to writing. So whatever you do, preaching, studying to preach or teach, whatever your profession is, that's your edge. Wisdom, the ability to make proper choices and reach proper conclusions and decisions. That's one definition of wisdom. Shrewdly aware and subtly resourceful. Using proper means and procedures in obtaining an end. Knowing how to restore and maintain your edge. These are all functions of wisdom. And finally, sharpening is raising the level. Sharpening is raise the level of your skill and effectiveness through renewal. The last series, we addressed renewal. So again, key words to think about. And put all this in your thinking as you're working through what God wants you to do in relationship to this message today. All right, tools that sharpen. I'm going to hand these out here in a moment. But tools that sharpen. Now, here are some ways in which we are sharpened. Here's some actual wisdom. Here's wisdom applied right here. First of all, I suggest to us that being a doer of the word is a tool for sharpening. Say, Lord, thank you that being a doer of your word sharpens me. Because slothfulness produces decay, okay? Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, laziness leads to a sagging roof. Idleness leads to a leaky house. So back in the day, they built houses with wood and not concrete and steel. So obviously, if they didn't, you know, properly manage the roof and the structure, it would sag. Laziness, they had to maintain their properties and their buildings constantly. And so the parable is the same for us. If we're not diligent, or worse, lazy, then things sag. Things fall apart. Different versions of this text read as in funny ways. One version talked about things decaying. Well, in fact, what first phrase there, because of slothfulness produces decay. That's another rendering from that text. So again, but being a doer of the word helps you avoid all. That's why I'm saying if we walk with Jesus, do the word, you'll never need deliverance. Hope you're okay with that. I mean, some people believe in deliverance. I know that. They believe in deliverance, you know. But I believe in walking with Jesus and being a doer of the word. Not that I'm going to be perfect or anything. I always need to have help. I'll make mistakes. But man, falling so low where you need deliverance, that's a whole other problem. Next tool for sharpening is prayer and worship. Say, prayer and worship sharpens me. Even today in corporate worship, I mean, it's amazing how much better you feel, how much better you are after worshiping God corporately. And same is true privately. Of course, prayer and worship go together. And John 4:23 is what Jesus said. He's seeking worshipers to worship in spirit and in truth. All right, simplicity and declutter your life. Say, Lord, thank you. Simplicity and decluttering sharpens me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's on the screen here. Verse 3, New Living says, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. All right, so then, yeah, we all can fall into the same problem Eve and Adam had when we lose undivided devotion. Because, see, God gave some very plain instruction. All of this you can have. This one thing, leave it alone. That was the only instruction. But the devil came along and said, did God say, leave that alone? God wants you to miss out. And all that kind of foolishness. And so what was undivided became divided attention. See, when you divide your attention, you spread yourself too thin, paying attention to too much stuff, then you lose your edge, and then things that make no sense become plausible. I watched a video recently of the flat earth thing, you know. And there are folks who believe the earth is flat. And listen to the arguments, it's just ridiculous, you know. So much so that I haven't used it before, I kind of want to use it. But this thing of, before I engage with somebody I don't know, ask a few questions first. And one question might be, is the earth flat? You know, because if first say, it might be, I'm like, well, I got to go, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I can't have a discussion with somebody who entertains. But the point is, what happens is all of us can get to a flat earth type mentality if we get divided in our attention to God. Oh, I'd never believe that. You'd be surprised what you would believe. Yeah. you stop paying attention to God and to objective truth, navigating well, you know, that whole lesson series. It's amazing what people start believing when they lose focus on God. And so, now declutter. Let me meddle a little bit. All of us got stuff, except Bertha, that need decluttering. I'm just, you know, I know Bertha, man. She ain't got no clutter. No, no. But all the rest of us got some clutter, you know what I'm saying? And let me help you. I read in the book, a book about personal time management and all this. And this author, he said, if you want to encourage yourself and regain energy, he says, go clean up a dirty or declutter someplace and you'll feel better. And he's right. So I thought, I said, Lord, I got a lot of opportunities to feel better this week, next month, this year, next year. Now, the principle behind it, though, is that it's no sin in clutter, right? Because sometimes you clutter by design, because that's the space I leave cluttered. That's by design. Stuff going there, leave it over there. It's not my concern. That's why it's over there. But in your day-to-day life, what you have to encounter all the time, not just things, but how you think, how you work, how you plan. If you, as the text indicates, if you strive for simplicity, New King James says simplicity of the faith. If we seek simplicity, that means removing complexity wherever we can. Now, this next quote, to attain knowledge, add things every day. To attain wisdom, subtract things every day. It's not scripture. It's a good thought, though. To add knowledge, to attain knowledge, add things. To attain wisdom, subtract things. And so that's a good way of thinking, because I think we know when we need to handle some business, we often realize, okay, I got to first declutter to get to the simplicity of what I'm looking at needing to get done. And so I'm going to drop this and keep moving here in the lesson as one of the tools of sharpening is simplicity and decluttering. I'll leave it there, okay? I think you get the point. Let's go on. All right. Fellowship, say fellowship, is one of my tools for sharpening. Well, fellowship is so key. Iron sharpens iron, one of the scriptures say. And the text from Hebrews 10:24 talks about don't forsake assembling together, right? So we are a community of believers. And in 1 John 2:7 talks about how when we fellowship, the blood of Jesus is activated as we fellowship. So fellowship sharpens you. That's why, you know, both in church and among friends, among other believers, that fellowship is so refreshing. It's renewing, isn't it? Because your life, your work life involves dealing with difficult people, amen, people who don't bless you, you know, people who wear on you, pull on you. So having other people with whom you can fellowship, it has the opposite effect of sharpening you. That's why it's important to do that. And believers who say they know Christ, but don't fellowship with other Christ followers, they become dull just by virtue of not being around other people. You know, I find that when I fellowship with people, I become aware of what I need to work on sometimes. By contrast, no one's trying to one-up me. No one's trying to prove. By being in the presence, I realize, you know what? I got to come up. I can come up. I'm coming up. Because they're doing stuff that's normal to them, but abnormal to me, but I could and should move that direction. So sometimes when you fellowship, you're inspired by the example of people. See, fellowship puts you in the mind of I can reach into Jesus more. Not that I can compete with somebody, but I can be more of what God wants me to be. And then next is personal preparation. Say personal preparation. Go ahead and pass out these sheets now if you could, brothers. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. This is Paul teaching his spiritual son Timothy, a young minister. He says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is what Paul wrote and said to Timothy. Present yourself approved to God. That is, have the mindset, when I show up in God's presence, I show up anywhere, I want to be approved. I want to be certified. I want to be acknowledged as being ready. Not being perfect, not having it all, but being prepared. You know how it is when you hire somebody to do work at your house or if you're an employer or a supervisor and someone show up and they ready and they prepared, don't it feel good? And aren't you glad when you're the person that somebody calls and you're ready, you're prepared, and you're approved to get it done? Amen? I really value that. That's important to me. If I show up someplace, I'm coming ready. I'll come prepared. And because how can you not come answer a call and appear before somebody and not be prepared? I told you a story. In art school, one of my first classes, I'm hood, straight hood, you know, talented kid from the hood with a hood mindset. And I'm just, you know, partly was like, I'm here. Y'all should be glad I'm here. You know, that's like hood mindset. And so I'm in the classroom, and it's time to draw. And this is so funny looking back on it. I was so offended when it first happened. But so I'm in there and had to have a number two pencil. It's all kind of pencils. Number two, HB, soft lead, hard lead. And have a pencil. I wanted to borrow a pencil. I said, can I borrow somebody's pencil? Professor said, wait a minute. This is art class. You don't borrow pencils here. You come with everything you need. Now, I'm sure this is a script. He used it every year on freshmen, you know, want to borrow, and ghetto people want to borrow a pencil in an art. You're in an art class, and they gave you a list of things to purchase and bring with you. And I roll up in there and want to borrow a pencil. He read me the riot act. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you the story. And every year, I'm sure he does that. You know, because there are certain things you have to understand in your place and station in life. One of which is, it says, the text again says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. All right. Now, this sheet here, I'm calling this a self-assessment tool. I'm going to get you started, let you work with it on your own. But it's pretty simple. You can do this on the sheet of paper. If you're watching online, there's this link to this page in the description of the video. Scroll down, you can download this yourself. Or just take these topics and write down, make up your own sheet. But the concept is simple. I've got these areas on the left side, these items: prayer, Bible reading, Bible study, service in church and kingdom, and so forth. Other on the right side, the first question is, or the first statement is, where I am. And the next statement is, what I need. Let's do a couple of these right now. So on the topic of prayer, everybody have one of these? All right, where I am. Well, I tell you, I'm in a pretty good place right now in prayer. We've all had seasons of not being diligent in prayer. I think the situation in our family, my wife and her dad passing, sometimes situations push you back into prayer. But the thing is, you should always be there. Amen. So I'm in a good place. I pray every day. I always pray every day. But sometimes my prayers are in and around other things. That prayer is not the event in and of itself. Or like praying over food, for example, don't really count. I mean, if you say, I prayed today, what'd you pray about? Over the food. Don't count that. That's called saying grace, you know. What I need is to continue in that morning prayer event. Not just saying prayer. I'm talking about the event, the moment, the season of prayer, where nothing else matters at that time. Now, of course, that's difficult to do when you have work schedules and so forth. But you know how it is. You get up early enough before you got to get ready to go to work. You can pray all the long time. You can pray for an hour, hour and a half, whatever it takes. You got the point. So I'm saying, look at that in your own life. Where are you? What do you need? Bible reading, same thing. All right? Now, I'm very, very good on Bible reading. I use Bible Gateway, and I use it. I even use my Alexa. Alexa, what's my daily scripture? She read two things to me every day. And I got my own reading in Bible Gateway, so I'm good at that. Bible study. Now, see, don't mistake or confuse the two, because reading the Bible is not the same as doing Bible study. Bible study is you camp out on the text. You spend time with the text, the verses. You use resources like blueletterbible.org to actually see the actual, what the words mean and what the context is. So Bible study is totally different, and it takes much longer to do Bible study or exegesis than just Bible. Both are important, but it's different. So where are you, and what do you need? Let me hit these other ones kind of quickly because time is out. Service in church and in God's kingdom. How are you serving in the church? How are you serving in the kingdom outside of the church? Witness to others. Where am I? Do I tell folks about Jesus? Do I invite people to know him? Do I have anything on me to give people? Solitude meditation. When is your quiet time? Now, meditation, I mean meditation in that metaphysical way. I mean meditation in the Bible way. I'm thinking about scripture, thinking about what the word said, what Jesus taught me. Worship time, corporate, private. Where are you? What do you need? Fellowship. Sometimes we only hang out with people, you know, who don't walk with God. Now, we do spend time with people. We associate, but fellowship is only with people who know Jesus. Preparation, accountability. Does anybody know where you are, what you're doing? I want nobody in my business. Folks don't want to be in your business. We don't care about your business. We care about you. How are you doing? What's your state? And thank God for accountability. People call us from time to time, or we tell folk from time to time. You know, people say, how are you doing? We say, I'm great. In your mind, you're thinking, I'm just hurting. I'm hurting real bad, you know what I'm saying? But I got to say, I'm fine. Well, would you have the people, when they ask you how you're doing, you can actually tell them, because you know they really want to know, how are you doing? That's accountability. The faith walk. A couple of scriptures. In fact, next slide here, if you could, son. I kind of skipped past the second, last slide, actually. Nope, next slide. Is there a faith slide here? Nope, no scriptures. There it is. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Proverbs 11, 4 says, he who observes the wind shall not sow. Now, use that as a faith text, because here's the issue we have with faith. Faith is believing God, but then there's the circumstances in front of us. And so the big challenge is, when at the moment you decide to believe God, is often the same time in which the devil or circumstances bring up the very opposite. And so if the prayer is, Lord, calm the storm, then the wind kicks up just then. And so here you are needing to believe God to still the storm, and the wind is raging. The storm is raging in your life at the same moment. But don't observe the wind. It's over there. Don't ignore it, but don't observe it. Listen, if you observe the problem, focus on it too long and too much, you don't really encourage yourself at all. Yes, you acknowledge a problem. No denial is good. But once you've acknowledged it, move straight to what did God say about it? What do I believe about it? And stop observing the wind. Amen, somebody? That makes sense? All right. And then finally, taught and trained. And that scripture there is Acts 2:42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and breaking the bread and to prayer. So the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So devote yourself to the teaching of the word. We teach the word. We do it on Sundays, on Wednesdays, and blog posts and all that. And so devote yourself to the teaching of the word, because these are the tools that sharpen you. Amen, somebody? Father, thank you today for giving us insight. Thank you, Lord God, for reminding us of much of which we already knew. But Lord, sometimes the sharpening we need is to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, as the Apostle Paul wrote. Lord, thank you that we don't view